A significant proportion of the drugs in the average doctor's medical bag have their direct roots in nature. Digoxin, artemisinin, morphine and the salicylates are all very good examples. Another is forskolin. This is an incredibly useful therapeutic chemical, as we'll hear in a minute, but it's also an almost impossibly difficult molecule to make. So doctors have been forced to rely so far on a natural source, which limits supply, and it also drives up costs. Now, Irini Patareki has found a way to make yeast brew it up for her.
Forskolin is a compound that is produced only from one plant. The plant is called Coleus forskolin, mainly grown in India and South Asia. And forskolin is important because it has a lot of pharmaceutical properties that all of them depend on the ability that forskolin has to help relaxing the vessels of our body. For example, forskolin helps treating hypertension, asthma, glaucoma in the eyes. Actually, is one of the very few drugs that they are efficient in treating glaucoma. And today we have in the market medicines that they contain forskolin for that purposes.
But because it comes from one single plant source, we're therefore dependent on that plant to extract the precursors and the chemical.
Exactly. Also, we have to have in mind this plant produces forskolin in relatively low amounts. So when we need forskolin to give it to the market, then this source is not enough. And also, forskolin in that plant is produced in combination with many different metabolites. So this plant is producing something like 70 different metabolites, but quite similar with forskolin. So it's very challenging to isolate and purify forskolin from this plant.
And why can't we just make forskolin artificially, just in a test tube?
Because forskolin is a quite complicated molecule, so it's very challenging chemically to produce it. And also it will be very expensive. The amounts that you can achieve are very low, so the price and the efficiency is not really favourable.
On the other hand, if you can work out how the plant is doing it and then steal the genetic recipe, then you could recreate the synthetic pathway in another organism and mass produce it.
And this is exactly what we are doing. We went back to the plant, sequenced the transcriptome, which means we sequenced genes that they were expressed in the plant, and we found out the genes and enzymes responsible for the production of forskolin.
Did you focus on the part of the plant which makes the highest concentrations of forskolin so that you knew you had a reasonable chance of the genes which are switched on there are the ones which are directly linked to making those chemicals?
Exactly. This is what exactly we did. So we knew that forskolin generally is produced in the roots, and we knew that from the tradition because, I mean, as I said, forskolin is used for many years. So people knew that they can find it in the roots. But when we started to work on that and we went closer, we found out that the forskolin is not generally produced in the whole root, but is produced very specifically in the cork of the root. And then we found out that these cork cells, they contain some oil bodies where these oil bodies are able to store forskolin. And also forskolin precursors. So but from this data, we realized that forskolin is also produced in these cells, not only accumulating, but also produced. So we went back and we sequenced this very, very specific tissue. And this was a big help for the identification of these enzymes.
And how many enzymes are involved in the whole pathway?
We found 9 different enzymes that are necessary to produce this compound. The difficult part, though, is to make all these genes to express together and to work together in a different organism and to produce what you want them to produce, because the environment of a plant is very different than the environment of a yeast cell. A plant cell is much more complicated than a yeast cell, so you have to make some adaptations and you have to be sure that all these enzymes that you move from the plant to the yeast cell, you can make them functional.
Does the yeast tolerate making forskolin okay, or is it toxic?
You could say that it's toxic, but because it's toxic, yeast has some nice machinery that excrete forskolin out of the cell to the media.
And how much forskolin does it make?
In this paper, we have said that it can produce up to 40 milligrams of forskolin per liter of yeast culture. Actually, today we have managed to get much higher titers.
And how does that compare then in terms of the amount of plant matter you would need to extract the same quantity of the drug? I mean, is this a viable and scalable way of producing Foscolin?
This is totally scalable because, of course, you can use as many yeast cultures as you like. So you can have several bioreactors. While for the plant needs a whole year to grow, and then you have to chop it off and to take the roots. So when you rely on plants to produce Foscolin, you have to depend on yearly, let's say, growth.
An amazing piece of work. That was Irene Patareki from the University of Copenhagen.